The story of Martha and Mary tends to confound us a bit because in our culture we exalt action so much. Busyness, accomplishments, the more you're doing, the better it is, right? And it seems that Jesus does not have much favor or much praise for that mentality. So this story can confound us a little bit. Now oftentimes this little episode of Martha and Mary has been read throughout the history of the church as a comparison between the active life and the contemplative life. Right? The active life being out in the world, serving the mission of the gospel there. The contemplative life, the life of the monks and the nuns, for example, who dedicate themselves to prayer and to not necessarily engaging in the world in that same way. And so many have drawn the conclusion that Jesus is saying, well, the contemplative life is the higher and the better vocation. Now, many others have said that there's a caution there. We can't necessarily draw the conclusion that the contemplative life is better than the active life just from this story. If you look at Jesus' life, what do we see? He's often busied. He's often in the midst of great activity. We do see him desiring to go up the mountain to pray, to be with his Father. And yet, he did perform miracles. He did teach. He spent time with the tax collectors and sinners. His life, if we look at it from a whole, seems like a life of great action. So, can we therefore say that action is not good or not as good? Not necessarily the conclusion we're meant to draw. The story is not about one way of life being better than the other. I think the point is a little bit more basic. The point is that we must first listen before we act. This is kind of a repeated theme in the scriptures, right? The prophet needs to hear the Lord's word before he acts. If he does not, he messes things up, right? Throughout the scriptures, this principle, we must listen to God before we act. It's a very fundamental principle. So the question for us then is, what does it mean to listen? So that we would know how to act, what to do. And Mary provides just a wonderful example for us to think about and to pray about. She's sitting at the feet of the Master. The feet of God, Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. I mean, it's a great symbol to us of what prayer is meant to be like, sitting at His feet, listening, receptive. Right? Maybe we should create the scene a little bit more in detail so we can understand what's happening. Right? Jesus comes to the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha's concerned about waiting on Him. You would think that if it's just the three people, she wouldn't be overly concerned, right? So you have to imagine, Jesus always traveled with many companions. Many companions were in Martha's house, right? So the disciples, among the disciples at least, there were a number of them there. And so the rabbi, as was custom, would take his seat and begin to teach. And his disciples would sit at the rabbi's feet, that symbol, that posture, stating that they're listening, that they are receptive, right? That's why it's a burden, because it's not just a few people. There's probably a large crowd there. And Martha is expecting Mary to help. Not only that, the convention of the time, of course, was that only the men would be able to listen to the rabbi. And the women would be busy in their task of serving, preparing the meal. And so Martha's upset, not just because she's overburdened, she can't possibly prepare enough food for all of these people on her own, but also that she sees Mary as doing this radical thing that she's not supposed to do, breaking this honored social convention. So Mary, then, is not just an example of sitting at the Master's feet. We see that she's done a lot to get there, right? She's cast aside a lot of her concerns. I'm sure she too cares for the guests, right? She's cast aside the social conventions and the expectations that are given to her by her culture. She has done a lot just to get there to the feet of the Master. Now for us, what do we do? What are we doing to make sure that we have time to listen and truly be receptive to the voice of God? We have to do some work to get there, right? We have to get rid of some things to be able to find the quiet to be with Him, right? Our world is full of noise, full of activity, right? So what would we do? I mean, an example. We limit our internet. We get rid of our cable. We downgrade our phone rather than upgrading it, right? There's all sorts of things that we can do to make it possible for us to have time to listen to the voice of the Lord in prayer, right? That posture of receptiveness to God's Word is so important for us, but we need to do something to get there. It doesn't just happen on its own. Now, after we listen, then action flows from that, right? That's the way it's meant to be. That's the biblical principle. So what happens if we don't listen first? If we simply try to act? Does that mean that we're necessarily doing evil things? Not necessarily. I mean, if we look at Martha, we wouldn't say that she's doing something wrong or evil. Jesus doesn't say that either. But she is full of anxiety and full of worry. And Jesus has to use the trick that all moms and dads use to get attention, repeating her name, right? David, David, David. He says, Martha, Martha, stop what you're doing and listen to what I have to say, right? You're full of anxiety and worry, and that is not what I desire for you. So anxiety and worry are signs to us that we are trying to act before we listen to the voice of God. And I don't know about you, but I've met a few people that are burdened with anxiety and worry, right? It's an epidemic in our culture. We're busied about so many things that we're constantly anxious. Stop and listen. So what is the fruit of listening? Well, it's very simple. It's the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of worry. It's peace. Right? If you think about Mary, she knows she's out of place. She's where she's not supposed to be. And then Martha comes and tries to rat her out and get her to help her. And Mary does not defend herself. She's not even anxious about defending herself. She's totally at peace with where she is at Jesus' feet. So that's the fruit of listening. And then also the second fruit of listening is right action. If we follow Mary, we will see as Jesus approaches Calvary, He stops at their house once again in Bethany. And what does Mary do? Mary anoints Jesus to prepare for His burial. How would she know that He was going to His death? Because she was able to listen, even to the unspoken words of our Savior. She understood. So her listening led her to right action, to doing the right thing at the right time. Martha, on the other hand, is carried away by her busyness. She's not getting what is essential. She's not doing the right thing at the right time. You know, a lot of times, if we're going over to someone's house, we'll say, well, don't get carried away, right? Don't make a big deal out of it, right? And some people still do, right? There's a great image here in that phrase, don't get carried away. And this comes from a book called The Soul of the Apostolate, which was written by a Cistercian priest. And the whole book is about, really, about Martha and Mary, about how our active life in ministry and spreading the good news must be rooted in our interior life. And so he says that the soul without the interior life, the soul without listening first, is like an uncautious swimmer. Okay, soul that doesn't listen first is like an uncautious swimmer who is in the river and he goes out too far. And all of a sudden, he finds that he no longer has the strength to fight against the current. And so what happened? He finds himself being swept away, right? Being carried away by the current. Busyness and activity and accomplishments, having a lot of things on our plate. That's our culture. The current is very strong. Jesus says there is need of only one thing. Let's not get carried away.